Dear Mom, I have got something really terrible to tell you. But I won't tell you right now. I'll listen to Slightly Out to Lunch.
This is ABC Lonely Hearts Radio, and we'll be back in half an hour without Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Peter Smalley, Bill Conn, Lance Curtis, Jane Harders, Peter Whitford, Adam Bowen, and Angela Weber. Music by Arthur Greenslade's Bondi Broadcasters, with Willie Quar and Dave Colton's Rogers of Reggae. Special guests today are Alistair Jones, Valentine Rusk, with the welcome return of Legbreak Molasses and Narcissus Montego. Meanwhile, we're slightly out to lunch.
Now, look, I'm terribly sorry, Mrs. Reagan. The palace grounds really couldn't accommodate your husband's rodeo and country and western show, no. You're fine, I'll pass it on. Right, goodbye.
G'day, pal. You'd be the Queen's press secretary? Lovely beer you got in.
God, who are you and how the devil did you get in?
Well, I saw they were pretty tied up changing the guard in the front yard, so I just wandered in, you know.
This is most irregular. What is your business here?
I'm here on behalf of Australia. Well, just a part of it, actually.
Ah, which state government do you represent?
Not so much a state. You know Poo-Wonk?
I don't believe so, no.
Well, it's nowhere near there. I'm here on behalf of the citizens of Spargo Creek.
I'm afraid I've never heard of it.
Oh, fair go. We got our own postcard and everything.
Oh, good for you.
Anyway, once a year we have what we call the Spargo Creek Gold Model Ball, where we drink and dag around, you know, raffle the odd chook, etc. Does Her Majesty like chooks?
Please get to the point.
Well, this year is Spargo Creek Silver Jubilee. It's been 25 years since we had the septic tank put in, so we was hoping to make this year's Gold Model Ball a bit special. We wondered if Her Majesty would like to be the Spargo Creek Gold Model Ball Queen.
Her Majesty,
we
the...
Well, we thought she might like the publicity, you know, and she can keep the costume, too. What little there is of it.
Oh, really?
Oh, nothing rude, mind. Nothing rude. Just golden model pom-poms stuck on with clag so they don't fly off when she dances through the streets.
It's quite so. I hardly feel that Her Majesty...
Look, we may be a small town, but we're all royalists. We've had the streets carpeted in red.
No, look, I'm sorry. It's quite out of the question. The Queen has a very busy schedule and is totally unable to make any visits to minor colonial towns.
Well, have you asked her? I bet she'd give her wave an arm for a good boozer.
Now, you'll have to leave now, sir. The footman will escort you back to the palace gates.
But I've come all the way to London. Listen, can we have Princess Di jumping out of a path?
She's unavailable.
What about Charles Englund?
Also unavailable.
Then surely you can let us have the corgis jumping through flaming hoops.
No.
Oh, crikey, is the whole royal family unavailable?
Yes. They're all booked for the annual Tittybong tree-felling festival.
You doing anything around August?
No, not really.
Well, how would you like to be first prize for the Monte Carlo?
From across the seas, around the globe, out of the outback, and into your local theatre, it's the Cooey Newsreel.
Barrier Reef, and from our glass-bottom boat we gaze down in wonder on a fantastic underwater world of fabulous colours and shoals of tropical fish. But now, courtesy of the Peacock Island Holiday Hotel, here is Australia's newest and most extraordinary entertainer, underwater singer and tap dancer Simon Spongewaite. As the angelfish dart past his nostrils, Simon gives us I Did It My Way and follows it with a dazzling tap routine in flying red flippers, then does a graceful high kick on the sandy subaqueous stage and bursts into a Michael Jackson rap dance medley. Now Simon is joined by the other half of his act, a four-meter great white shark. The playful pointer pretends to savage Simon's legs in a spectacular cloud of red dye, but alas, our boat drifts on before we can catch the grand finale. Australia's newest showbiz sensation on the Great Barrier Reef. Rustic Willawalla Bangalong, in the heart of Australia's sun-drenched wheat belt. And our Cooey Newsreel camera is there to capture a brand new harvesting technique on trial. A giant helicopter, piloted by veteran chopper jock Denny Prangmore, hovers over the sea of golden grain with a huge vacuum cleaner mounted underneath the fuselage. Denny switches on, and look, it's incredible. Modern technology demonstrates its awesome power as tons of wheat is sucked up into the gaping nozzles, filling the air with clouds of dust. But what's this? The chopper's swelling up. Its metal skin stretches like a vast balloon until it seems to fill the sky. Then, bang! Tragedy strikes as the chopper explodes in a hailing hell of grain. Bad luck, say the sons of the soil. Back to the drawing board. A noble experiment ends in tragedy at Willawalla Bangalong in Australia's rural heart. London. And a new concept in hovercraft developed in Australia is demonstrated on the Grand Ole River Thames. It's the Kanga craft. And instead of simply hovering, it literally bounds across the water. What a bounder, say astonished Londoners, as the graceful Kanga craft, its long air-filled tail pounding the surface, leaps along at an amazing 80 miles an hour. Boing, boing, hold very tight, please, as Australia's latest export makes a splash on London's historic Thames. Leading fashion designer Damien Loquacious, formerly of Sydney, where his flight was once delayed by smog, shows his latest collection of wooden clothes in the elegant mainline room at the glittering Cocaine Plaza Hotel. These hollow log trousers are for casual wear, and this stunning latticework dress is for the evening. A bark shawl completes this elegant ensemble of parquet skirt and matching top. Pretty model Jackie Tune carries a handy accessory, a miniature chainsaw, essential for those on-the-spot alterations. Optional pine needle underwear completes the outfit. All the clothes were made at Mr. Loquacious's new sawmill in upstate New York, and he hopes to set up a branch in Australia soon. Into your theater.
Ah, yes. This is a fine wine.
Mr. Bailey, Mr. Bailey.
Yes, this is a truly handsome, young, virginal vintage red wine.
Mr. Bailey, may I ask
yes,
you?
Yes, a wet, red wine, an impudent, skittish little drop,
Mr.
I would say.
Mr. Bailey, please.
Ah, yes, this comes from, let me see. Ah, the Lower Barossa, I would say, about 200 to 300 yards from Mr. Pondwilly's vineyard on the lower slopes of those lush, verdant hills behind the small township of...
Mr. Bailey, please.
I was saying on the lower slopes of...
Mr. Bailey, please. There are others waiting to take communion.
Gillian Cross, and today a profile of a man of exceptional versatility, revolutionary talents, and huge biceps. Terry de Medici, author, composer, experimental filmmaker, hairdresser, award-winning cha-cha dancer, and commander-in-chief of the 15th Paratroop Division, deceased.
No, I'm not. No, see, I'm alive.
Sorry, Terry. Short lifetime, Terry de Medici has made more significant contributions to art, science, and humanity than you've had hot dinners. Terry de Medici, Renaissance man of the modern age. But how did it all begin? I spoke to Mrs. Nancy Gestalt, Terry's kindergarten teacher, now Joan Collins' bodyguard.
I remember it was always very difficult to get him to go sleepy popos, right?
Why was that?
He was always designing suspension bridges.
So what did you do?
I used to deck him like this.
While still at primary school, the young Terry began showing tendencies towards genius. His secondary school teacher, Ray Spadgett, recalls Terry's burgeoning talents.
Yeah, well, nobody likes a smart ass, do they? Yeah, I mean, I remember one day... Just after his first novel was at the Wings of Destiny was published, I was teaching... Peterson, don't do that, son! I was teaching geography class, and I caught him writing an opera, dirty little bugger.
So what did you do?
I jobbed him, I turped the little bastard, just like this. Boom!
At the age of 16, not even 6 months in traction could deter Terry from directing the musical comedy remake of 40,000 Horsemen. He did this while still on location at the intensive care unit. He also managed to write the best-selling book, Recent Trends in Upholstery Maintenance, and was awarded the Nobel Prize for his contributions to genetic engineering.
Of course, Terry's main contribution was his brother Leonard, a generous gesture fondly remembered by Terry's mother, Vera de' Medici.
Now, somebody had to do it.
How did you really get on with Leonard? He was very hostile towards Terry.
What did he do?
Well, he used to deck him. Oh, not that I blame him, really. Listen, come over here when I'm speaking to you, will you? Nobody likes a smart-ass.
After a brief 8-year stint as a mercenary in war-torn Hobart, Terry de' Medici was appointed to the much-coveted position of Thursday night and Saturday morning attendant at Darren's Drive-In Bottle Mart, and the rest, as they say, is history. Terry de' Medici, a Renaissance man and contemporary genius.
This week only has a special on fortified wines, all interstate cans and Japanese vodka.
No, that's next week.
Look, Terry, nobody likes a smart ass. I'm afraid I'm going to have to deck you.
Ooh!
Ledwig, nice to see you back in Australia.
Why, yes, Narcissus, I'm falling to Captain Bessus.
Was a wise colonial boy, and Ledwig was his name. A poor but honest baron, he was born in Port of Spain. He was his father's only home, his mother's pride and joy, and dearly his. His parents loved the white colonial boy. It was at the age of 16 years he left his native home and to Australia's sunny shores a creaky daddy roamed. They put him in at 91 at a scratch match in Fitzroy. But never a batsman there could hold the white colonial boy. In 81, the Sierra Leone commenced his wild career with a heart that knew no danger, and no batsman did he fear. At the Gabba Waka MCG, our man used every ploy. At every match, the winning catch from the wild colonial boy.
Hey, man, when you just spend the night in Zion and you can't face your morning bowl of soggy breakfast cereal, then you need a change of pace. Why not try Herbowheats, the new cone-shaped breakfast treat from Rastafarium? Just light up a bowl of yummy Herbowheats and hear the rich, full wheat head snap, crackle and pop your way back to Zion for breakfast. Just one cone contains 50% of your daily allowance of THC. Herbowheats take you right up. They don't bring you down. Well, not for a while anyway. Sink your dreadlocks into a bowl today.
Each pack of Herbowheats contains a free plastic Haile Selassie. And don't forget to collect all 20 reggae swap cards. If you're not into swap cards, you can use them to roll your next Herbowheat. Get your day off to a flying start with Herbowheats.
Admiral, Captain Cook's back from his voyage. He'd like to speak to you.
Oh, wonderful. Send him in.
Admiral, I have great news.
Oh, Cook, it's good to see you. How's the voyage?
Sir, I have discovered Australia.
Australia?
Yes.
You found it?
Yes.
That's wonderful. Where was it?
Well, right down here in the bottom right-hand corner of the map.
Oh.
It nearly missed it when I made a sharp left just past Noumea.
Oh, so that's where it was.
Yes.
The last place we thought to look.
Right.
Well, good work, Cook.
Thanks,
that will go nicely up there on the map right next to New Zealand. Fill in that horrible big space under New Guinea.
Right, sir. Yes, good. Mm. It's a lovely country, too, sir. It's all neatly divided up into states by straight lines going right across the middle.
Oh, wonderful. Do you find any precious metals? Coal? Valuable grazing land?
No, I'm afraid not, sir. No, and I did get one of these there.
What is it?
It's a little plastic kangaroo holding a miniature Australian flag there, do you see? I bought two boxes of them at Ayers Rock.
Mm.
I say, sir, one would look very nice dangling from the roof of your carriage, sir, wouldn't it?
No. Thank you.
I also got one of these.
Is it valuable?
Not valuable, sir, no. Now, overpriced, I think, but not valuable.
What is it?
Well, sir, it's a little fairy koala pair. Mm. You can buy millions of them over there. I got one for each Lord of the Admiralty and two for the King. Kind of stick it on your epaulette. All the rage this year.
Yes, but Cook, did you find any diamonds?
Not diamonds, sir, no, but I did find one of these. It's called a T-shirt.
What's this on the front?
Written on the T-shirt, sir.
Yes, yes.
It says Pongo Bastard, sir.
Really? I wonder what that means.
No idea.
By the way, Cook, what's this sticking out of your back?
It's a spear, sir, yes. Got it in Hawaii, right between the shoulder blades. Do you like it?
Doesn't it hurt?
Rather. But everyone who goes to the South Pacific these days gets one. They're quite fatal, too. Yeah. In fact, sir, I think I'm about to die.
Cook! Cook! I say, Cook, he's been done, you know. It's written on the plastic here. This spear was actually made in Taiwan.
It's Friday night. You sit at home on your own, waiting for the phone to ring, reading your ejection slip from the Lonely Hearts Club.
Then discover ballroom dancing at Arthur Greenslade's Dance Center. Meet people with numbers on their backs. Learn to waltz and foxtrot with the rest of the in crowd. You'll soon be able to jive along to the latest dance crazes such as the phone tap, the goanna, the kickback. Arthur will have you frugging, stopping and twisting the night away, and that's just because he keeps the toilets locked. Sign up today and your first lesson is free, though you'll have to take out a second mortgage to get the second one. Arthur Greenslade will keep you on your toes and some of your partners as well. Don't be a wallflower at home, be one at Arthur Greenslade's.
And now it's time for our weekly Pets Corner with our regular veterinary consultant, Bruce Losis. Welcome, Bruce.
Hello, it's nice to be with you again, and as usual I'm speaking to you from my busy surgery here at the clinic in Drainage Hills. And this week's letter comes from Jeffrey Carpet of Rancid Lake. They had a bit of trouble with the acid pollution from the soft drink factory out there, as I recall, Jeffrey, and you write, "Dear Bruce, I am interested in insects, but not in animals. I would like to know if I could keep white ants as pets. I had a small crocodile, but he bit me, so I flushed him down the lav." Dear me, Jeffrey, did you really? That wasn't very kind to the poor little reptile, was it? I'll come back to that. But you asked me about white ants, and basically, as a vet, I can't help you here. The person you want is an entomologist, Jeffrey, an insect scientist. I should mention that most entomologists are pretty unstable people, horribly thin with dreadful thick spectacles and wax in their ears, and they tend to jerk violently at unpredictable moments, and a lot of them go mad, Jeffrey, or commit suicide, a bit like dentists. So why not forget all about white ants and get a proper pet, but obviously not a crocodile. Incidentally, I think you only flushed your crocodile down the toilet because you'd seen your mum do this with the things she finds hidden under your dad's pillow. Perfumed hankies and stockings and various items of ladies' underwear, which, for quite understandable reasons, she wishes to dispose of. She never says anything to your dad about them, does she, Geoffrey? Just looks rather cross all the time. But a crocodile isn't the same as a hanky or a pair of knickers. A crocodile is a living creature, and you were wrong to get rid of him like that, even if he did bite you. So I suggest your next pet should be one that won't bite you and won't fit down the toilet, and I would suggest a Tasmanian, Geoffrey. Years of inbreeding have made them a docile, simple-minded species, and all they want to bite into is apples. Thanks for your letter, and now this is Bruce Losis saying, poetically this week, a pet is not a children's toy. It is a thing of endless joy. A pet is something we have for life, like a good motor car or a wife.
Lust after your wombat.
Be the weekend.
Hi ho, everybody!
A joyful dance.
It's all at the pick-and-grab carpet warehouse, corner of Fan Belt Avenue and South Vomit.
5OK, Sandy Creek, all talk radio around the clock. The Malcolm Gobb Show, you know the number to call, and in a moment we'll go to our first caller. The subject under debate today, should sex offenders be castrated? It's been suggested that drug pushers should be strapped onto railway lines. Do you think that's a good idea? And what about the do-gooders in society? Should they be fed to the sharks? Well, those are some of the items we'll be considering on the program today. And now we go to our first caller. It's Barry. Hello, Barry.
Hello, Malcolm. Am I on, Malcolm?
You are, Barry.
Can I say
first of all, that I really like your show.
A very good point. A very good point there, Steve. But you see, the problem remains, Chris, of how we tackle what appears to be this decline in moral standards we see everywhere. But this is something you'll have to judge for yourself. Next call.
Malcolm, I wanted to pick up on something.
Absolutely.
You were saying,
I think it's important that we all listen to the points made in a spirit of maturity and responsibility. And it's what we're here for on All Talk Radio 5OK. Well, we've run right out of time again.
Malcolm?
Good night. And join me again tomorrow for another 3 hours of talk on The Malcolm Gobb Show. And incidentally, if you're a bored, frustrated, pampered, middle-class housewife and you'd like to voice your silly, shallow opinions to a half-educated non-entity with a deep brown baritone while your husband's working late at the office, my after-hours home hotline is 369-111-11.
We present Great Moments from the Cutting Room Floor. And this week, the classic western, High Noon.
I want to see the marshal.
Do you have an appointment, sir?
Look, my name's Black Bart, and this town ain't big enough for the two of us. Where is he?
I'm sorry, Mr. Bart, but I'm afraid he's busy at the moment.
I want to see him out in the street at high noon.
High noon. Let's see, 12 o'clock. Now, I'm afraid he has a lunchtime appointment with Wyoming Bill at that time. I could fit you in around 3:45. Is that okay?
3:45?
You have to be quick, though. He has another appointment at 4 o'clock, a shootout with the hole in the wall gang.
Look, he ain't seeing anybody after he's seen Black Bart.
I see. Well, in that case, how about 5:15?
Look, I'm Black Bart. Do you read me? I'm the fastest guy in the West.
Look, the marshal's been seeing fastest guns in the West all day today. He couldn't possibly fit another one in until 5:15.
Okay. Make it tomorrow. High noon.
I'm sorry. That's impossible. He's tied up all day tomorrow. The Apaches are down for a warpath.
What about the day after that?
No, sorry. He's got a shootout at the OK Corral. He couldn't cancel. He's put them up twice already.
What about Friday, then?
No, that's impossible.
Why, Indians again?
No.
Bandits?
No.
Stagecoach holdup?
No.
Well, then why can't he make it Friday?
He's playing golf.
And hoping happiness will come. That's not the way. It doesn't pay. If you want happiness, just help yourself to some. Why don't you try to ride surf the way I do? Let the whole world sigh or cry. I'll be high, I'll be dry. Up on top of a surfboard, blowing the tubes away. I don't care what's down below. Sharks may come, rips may go. I'll be up on a surfboard, blowing the tubes away. I've learned life's lesson. Surfers who win are those who can take you right on the shin and grin. And so I shout to everyone, find your place in the sun. Up on top of a surfboard, blowing the tubes away.
Hey, there's Johnny Costello cutting back on the lip.
Woo-hoo!
Go there, Johnny. Let's go with Dick Lowe's suntan on Arthur Greenslade's Lilo. Dick's got a real deep brown. Whoa there, Bob Bernard swept out to sea on a riff. Hey, watch out for them breakers, Bob.
I've learned life's lesson. Surfers who win are those who can take it right on the chin and grin. And so I shout to everyone, find your place in the sun. Up on top of a surfboard, blowing the tubes away, blowing the tubes away.
At Muro Atoll comes Aqua Radial, the atomic age mineral water that's just brimming with essential minerals such as sodium, magnesium, and strontium 90 to give you a healthy glow all over. It just radiates vitality and well-being. Aqua Radial. From the land of the long white mushroom cloud. It's got to be the drink for today, because you won't be there tomorrow.
Come in. Now then, Zob, isn't it?
Yes, my way. Zob is my name. Ich bin Zob. Lom Kisapel Zob Sangwa. Or, as they say in Japan, Zob Daigasames.
Right. Now then, let's not beat around the bush. Zob, you've been with the company as a river cruise operator now for 5 years.
Yes, sir. That old man, Lima, he keeps on going.
Thank you, Zob.
Quite all right, sir.
Now then, I want to be brutally frank with you, Zob. You're an ant.
Yes, sir. Or, as we used to say back in the nest, nee.
All right, Zob. I want to make this point clear. We have been quite satisfied with your navigation.
Oh, thank you, sir. Dad, old man, Lima.
Thank you, Zob.
Right, sir.
However, I must be candid with you. We have had complaints about you from our customers.
It's because I'm black, sir, isn't it?
No.
If I was a red ant, no one would have complained.
No, Zob, I'm afraid the complaints are a little more comprehensive than just your colour. You see, some people have been less than happy about going on a river cruise with an ant.
But why, sir? Pourquoi? Basse slouche. Pourquoi tout le monde se fout de ma gueule? N'osez beaucoup de ski janaka. Pourquoi me odia?
Zob, why are you talking like that? In French, German, Japanese and Italian, I mean.
Well, just because I'm a worker ant doesn't mean I'm not educated, sir.
Zob, look, I'm afraid a lot of our customers are becoming very unnerved when they see you getting on the boat with your skipper's hat on.
That's discrimination, sir.
Look, for a start, how do you steer the boat?
I may be small, but I'm very strong.
Look, I'm sorry, Zob, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to fire you.
Fire me? You can't do that. I'll complain. I'll go to the union. I'll report to the Maritime Services Board. I'll go to the Ombudsman. I'll write to my MP. I'll get the RSPCA onto you, and if that doesn't work, I'll get me mates round and we'll eat your desk.
I'm sorry you feel that way, Zob.
Oh, you dinkum, sir?
Absolutely, Zob. And I deeply regret my own rather hasty decision to let you go.
Oh, well, I felt sure you'd begin to see it my way, sir.
Indeed. But you see...
Yes, sir?
In business, alas, you have to be prepared to tread on a few people.
We've been slightly out to lunch with a script by Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Colin Bowles, Angela Webber, Adam Byrne, Lance Curtis, Sue Guy, George Faithful, Peter Smalley and Jim Overton. GUI consultant was Robert Parker, production assistant Linda Hughes, script editor Julianne Ford, sound effects John Farkas. Technical production was by Warwick Maver, and the program was produced by Kevin Daly and Tony Baldwin.
Today on Counterpoint, we talk to a man who's recently had a very nasty operation.
I'm the doctor who performed the operation. And when he was under, he was sort of... Weren't you?
Yeah, I felt that.
Yes. But it was a fairly routine operation.
Was it?
As far as we were concerned, yes.
It was very big for me.
Yes, it was basically a hair transplant operation. The hairs in your nose had fallen out and you wanted us to transplant your eyelashes into your nose.
Yeah.
That was fairly straightforward, but of course the anaesthetic had a tremendous effect.
And how much was the bill?